You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. I want to invite you out to our Wednesday night service tonight. It is 7 p.m. We have something for the kids. We have something for young adults, something for the adults. And we're in the adult Bible study. We are going through the book of John, and we would love to invite you out. It's not a deep dive into the Gospel of John, so it's not doctorate level or anything like that. I don't have a doctorate degree, but it's going to bring some real appreciation for the Word of God, and so I'd like to invite you out. So John on Wednesday nights, Sunday school on Sunday mornings, the Book of Acts, two different resources that we use, but we're believing that it's going to... like we were talking about on yesterday's program, create a people who hold fast to the faithful Word of God, and they therefore have the ability to exhort and convict those who contradict. So we want people to have a very well-developed skill and competency when it comes to teaching the Word of God. So I'm going to read verse number 9. Again, this is going to be Titus chapter 1. I'm going to read verse number 9. It's talking about the behavior of bishops or overseers, elders, pastors, teachers. Really, it should be for all Christians. And because we're going to be seeing some things here in verses 10 and 11 that will let you know not everybody has the same motives when they're in a church. So this is specifically talking about bishops. In verse number 9, it says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. So the first thing that we'll talk about, we kind of rushed through it there at the end of yesterday's program, is that not everybody in a church is going to be a big fan of the faithful Word of God. And what I have experienced in, you know, my fifth decade of ministry now, you can do the math there, and let you know I wasn't doing ministry until I was in my teenage years, so you can do the math. I haven't completed five decades of ministry yet, but I'm into that fifth decade, and that is that there are people who will not talk to you about things, but they are more than happy to talk about you. They are more than willing to talk with people in the church and contradict godly teaching that is going on. And we will see here in verses 10 and 11 that there are motivations that some people have. Sometimes there are people who are looking for a position. Sometimes, like I've told you on here before, there was a person that said, my job is to oppose the pastor. Well, that didn't go well. But I was thankful that, you know, that element was revealed, so that, because I thought that guy was my friend, And come to find out, he was actually not on the same page I was at all. And so you have to keep coming back to the Word of God. Sound doctrine. What we believe should show up not just when everything is going one mind, one accord, dwelling together in unity, but when there's somebody who is not on the same page with you and their behavior is not in line with the Word of God, it enables you to deal with them in a compassionate manner with the hope of restoring them to a biblical embracing of the truth. So the Holy Spirit will give you the power to be able to do that. Now, Paul writes to Titus, and he describes the condition of first century world problems in the church. For there are many insubordinate. Many insubordinate. That means that there were many people who were living in rebellion to the Word of God. They were living independently of God's will, and they were, the meaning of the word insubordinate literally means that they were out of order. Out of order. I told you I don't cook much. And when I cook, I don't follow a recipe, which can lead to some pretty interesting things. Sometimes they're even good. But someone asked me for a recipe that of some chili that I made, and I said I don't use a recipe. They said, "Oh no, you're one of those people," and so I didn't go look up ingredients from somebody else. I just said, "This is what I got. I bet this would be good. I think I'll like this." And what happened was I found some things that I liked, and sometimes other people didn't like it. But with some recipes, there is a sequencing that has to take place. If you want to get the desired result, you have to do things in the proper order. You have to follow the recipe, the spiritual recipe. And so in the kingdom of God, if we want the commanded blessing of God, it's not enough just to want it. We have got to go to the Word of God to see what sets up the environment or the condition that will result in the commanded blessing. Psalm 133, it's a psalm of David. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Now, I'm not going to take time to read all of the psalm. It's only three verses. But I want to finish what it says, that when we have those elements where there are brethren and they are dwelling together in unity. Unity is not you thinking like me, not me thinking like you. It is both of us thinking like Jesus. Okay? Now, there is order in the house of God. It is not a chaotic house. It is a structured house. And so there is an authority structure, and you don't want to get out from underneath that authority structure. But the result is, for there, this is the latter part of verse number 3, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So when we are not insubordinate, when we're not out of order, but we are in order, one mind, one accord, in one place, for one purpose, God says, "I am issuing a mandate from the throne that life everlasting is going to manifest in that place of unity." That's taking things and putting them in the proper order to get the desired result. I've told you, I've got a lock that I used to take to the gym with me, and I forgot what the combination was. And no matter how many different sequences I tried, I never could get it, so I had to go buy another lock. And I said, I don't want to repeat this mistake, and so I made sure that I kept the little thing with the combination on it. I made multiple locations of where the combination was because I wanted to remember the proper sequencing in order to get the desired result, and that was to be able to lock and unlock that lock whenever I needed to. So there are many insubordinate. There are a lot of people who live in rebellion to the Word of God, and then they're mystified why they don't get the godly results that they want. So what happens is there's another description, another adjective that is talked about here, and it talks about people who are idle talkers, that they can talk, but there's no action. So in 30, 2 years of pastoring Merit Assembly of God, and before that, but more since I've been the pastor, I have seen a lot of people come in. Some of them are really, really knowledgeable of the written word. Some of them are really not very good at living the word that they quote. And so if a person comes in and they're talking, one of the things that I do is I want to step back and observe. And I want to see if they're talking lines up with their actions, or whether their talk is idle because their walk is more believable than their talk. So that's one of the approaches that I have to idle talking. The other is that the Bible says we have to give an account of every idle word that we speak. It is one of the most humbling verses in the Bible. It causes me to stay repentant, to do my best to keep a rein on my tongue and keep God holding the reins, because my mouth could get me into a lot of trouble. But I don't just want to be talking, I want to be speaking words of faith. When we speak in faith, things happen. Whenever we speak idly, there is nothing of eternal consequence that takes place. The other adjective that describes not only those who contradict and those who are out of order, that there's a subgroup there that are idle talkers. There is another subset that are just plain deceivers. They are deceived and deceiving. I've given, a great deal of thought to some motives behind some of the people who are deceiving voices. I'm not talking about Merit Assembly of God. I'm talking about other environments. And it causes me to scratch my head, because it says, what is the motivation for you trying to deceive people into your lifestyle? Now, some people would accuse us of believing the Bible and promoting the Bible, and they don't believe it. So they would accuse us of trying to deceive, when in reality there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun, a hell to avoid. We are not here beating people up with the Word of God. We are here extending a lifeline, saying, hey, you do not have to continue on your journey of perishing. Jesus can save you and set you free. We are highly motivated for you. If you reject what I say, I don't think that's wise, but God gave you a free will. You can choose to do that. For people who believe you came from nothing, you exist for nothing, and there is nothing after your last breath, I haven't really figured out what it is they hope to gain from that. There are some people who deceive because there's a spirit of deception in operation in their life. That I understand. There's spiritual forces that want people not believing the truth. They don't really care which lie you believe, as long as you believe a lie. Jesus wants you to know the truth, abide in the truth, so the truth will set you free. So, but there are people who are deceiving, and it goes on to say in verse number 10, the latter part, especially those of the circumcision. So I want to talk to you just a little bit about culture. The people who were going around trying to force Old Testament covenant practices on New Covenant believers. Crete was not in Israel. It's an island. It was, there would be some ministries to some Jews who had migrated there, but it would be a largely Gentile population. And many times people do not understand that culture is not the same thing as biblical truth. I could talk to you about the culture that I grew up in. My wife could talk to you about the culture that she grew up in. One time we had a situation. She asked me, this is while we were dating, she said, "What are you having for dinner tonight?" I said, "Beans and cornbread." Where I came from, that was one of our meals. You throw in some fried potatoes and some fried fish, and that was a 5-star restaurant where I came from. Well, she didn't understand that I was talking about pinto beans. She understood that I was talking about green beans. And so she rallied some resources, and I got invited over for a meal that was really, really good. They asked me what my favorite meal was. I told them, and man, I got to have this great meal. And then they made me eat seconds, both of the main course and the dessert. I almost needed a wheelbarrow to get out of there. And I was over full. But we did not understand, because in the culture she grew up in, beans were green beans. Where I came from, they were pinto beans. And if we don't realize that, you know, it's a cultural preference, it's not the word of God, then we're not going to do a very good job of being able to communicate. So the Jewish believers in Jesus didn't realize that Jesus had come and fulfilled the Old Testament covenant, fulfilled everything that they were never able to do. And now we look not to the law, but to Jesus, who is the fulfillment of everything we were never able to do. And now he empowers us to live the life that we were supposed to live. So how do you deal with people who are focusing on their cultural preferences instead of the word of God? Verse number 11, Paul writes to Titus, and he says, "Whose mouths must be stopped." At that point in time, you have to realize that pastoral authority has to step up at that point in time, and you no longer give them a platform for their voice, because the things that they are sharing are not the gospel. The target that these people have is who subvert whole households. In 2025, I think it would do us well to recognize that households are under attack. Did you know that the household, the family, was created by God before the organism of the church was ever instituted in the New Testament? Yes, there's some reference to the church in the Old Testament, but the family was created before the church was. And the devil hates the family unit. And so He's all the time trying to sow discord between husband and wife. He's trying to sow discord between generation and another generation. And he's also trying to undermine the spiritual vitality of the family. And so I would like to propose that you do an analysis on the spiritual health of your family. And ask yourself, what are the weapons that the enemy is using against my particular family that is creating a stress environment instead of a faith environment? So when our kids were growing up, this was long before smartphones and things like that. And if we found that behavior was not lining up with what was expected of behavior, we unplugged the television, disconnected the television, and put the television away until behavior came into alignment. And you would be amazed at how quickly behavior came into alignment. You say, that's kind of punitive on your kids. Do you know that they are very, very cautious of what they allow their children to watch? It's not something that they are knee-jerk reacting and saying, we're just going to let them have a free-for-all. No, they appreciate the protection, the boundaries that were established in modern cases. They may be even holding their families to a tighter standard than what we did. So find out, look at it. Pray, God, what's the enemy using to attack my family? And then silence that voice. One of the biggest problems in America right now is pornography. It's not a male problem. It's not a female problem. It's a both problem. It's not a problem outside of the church. It's a problem inside of the church and outside of the church. It is a problem not just for people in the pews. Unfortunately, it's a large problem for many who are in the pulpit. And if that is a problem, disconnect your internet. Disconnect whatever you got to do. Get that voice out of your house, because you want your house to be a godly house. And so he says, the reason that you got to silence these voices is because they're teaching things that they should not be teaching. When it talks about their teaching, the reason is that it damages families. I've gotten a little sidetracked here, so let me go back. There are people who teach things that sideline others, that attack, undermine others' credibility and things like that. So whenever you see things that are deceiving, you don't want to allow them to continue to propagate that lie. They need to be silenced. Households are ruined, upset, and overturned. And the reason that these people were motivated to do it, according to Paul, was that they were looking for dishonest gain. They were looking for dishonest gain. So there was a story about a company that was looking to create a mission statement. And so they brought in this comic strip writer who is meeting with this large group of people, and they're trying to form this mission statement, and the people do not know that this comic strip writer is not a professional mission statement creator. He's actually been hired to make fun of the process. And so every time they come up with a good suggestion, he takes that and reworks it and rewords it and created a mission statement that, when it was done, everybody applauded. What a wonderful mission statement it was. And that's when he revealed that they were applauding what, where I came from, we would refer to as a bunch of mumbo jumbo. It was just a bunch of jumbled words that sounded impressive, but it really had no meaning, no focus, no direction. It was not going to advance the company. He was, you know, and I don't know how they managed to pull all of this off, but by the time they got done, everybody saw that sometimes those processes that were being used weren't leading them to the desired objective. They were derailing them. I wrote this down as well, that there exists, there was a court ruling in the past year that said that a First Amendment right includes the right to intentionally lie with the intent being to deceive. That they can intentionally lie and the goal is to get you to believe a lie, even though they know it's a lie, you know it's a lie, everybody knows it's a lie. They can still tell you because there might be somebody who would believe it. I see systems in place in America where there are two parties involved. One party has been authorized to lie. So party number one can lie to party number two, but if party number two lies to party number one, that's a criminal offense. I don't see that as just. I see that as injustice. And so here's the best thing I can tell you. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He came so that we could abide in him and know the truth, and the truth would set us free. The best thing I can tell you is speak the truth and live the truth. That way you never have to remember the things that you said that were lies. I've told you before, I'm a horrible liar. I learned a long time ago, I'm a horrible liar. I feel like there's neon arrows pointing down that are flashing. Hey, he's lying, he's lying. So because I'm so bad at it, I just want to make sure that I'm very good at telling the truth. Be a person that's not motivated by dishonest gain, or as the King James Version refers to it, as filthy lucre, but instead be motivated by love to be a messenger of the truth so the people you're speaking to will become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a great day. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.